Okay, we're going to start here from the two dots in the middle of Mem Aleph with Aleph. Hanu b'nei ganana, the gazlu asa b'yom tov sheni. So these gardeners, farmers of some sort, that hut, myrtle, on yom tov sheni. L'urta, that evening, post yom tov, sharlahu ravina l'ruche bei la'alter. He let them smell it immediately. So Amalei Rova Bar Tachlif l'ravina l'esilahu mar mipnei she'enem b'nei Torah. Shalis aserit, because they're not b'nei Torah. Maybe it's mutar. Maybe what you're saying is right. But if you allow these people to utilize this item right after Shabbat, right after Yom Tov, they're going to come in the future and be mezalzel in Yom Tov. Matgivla Rav Shmaya Taimo Denam b'nei Torah. The whole reason you want to be gozer here is because they're not b'nei Torah. Ha b'nei Torah, had they been people who were makpira lemitzvot and made sure not to violate any law, even if they were given certain permissions. Shari v'habiyinon b'chadesh yasu. What about the problem of chadesh yasu, which means that we still make you wait, even after Yom Tov, when something wrong was done, make you wait the amount of time it would take to complete that action. Azlu shailu al rovo. They went and asked rovo the shaila. Amadahu b'inon chadesh yasu. You need the amount of time to complete it. You can't utilize it until the amount of time that has elapsed, had you done it yourself, that you would have been able to accomplish it, then you are permitted to use it. But before that point in time, you are not permitted to use it. And yesterday's daf, Tosafot discussed, what does it mean, Kadesh Yasu? Because yesterday we talked about, they captured the Tzvi, you have to wait Kadesh Yasu. Now what is Kadesh Yasu in that case? Is Kadesh Yasu, you have to wait the amount of time it would take to go out, capture it, bring it back in, so on and so forth. Or we just take a simpler measurement. The Tosfot over there discusses that maybe we don't have to wait the full amount of time, but at least the amount of time that covers what would be the majority or the primary issue that has been violated over here. Now, in our case, you have two questions which arise. Number one is that the case is B'Yom Tov Sheni. It's time at the second day of Yom Tov. Why, in particular, is it speaking about Yom Tov Sheni versus Yom Tov Rishon? That Rashi addresses in one way, which is, Rashi says that it was Yom Tov Sheni, v'atu l'zuzei b'Yom Tov Sheni. Yom Tov Sheni, which is only a derabonon, or maybe at some point became a minhago be'alma, so maybe people are going to be mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni, and being mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni, therefore, the whole case here, what's focused over here is that it's Yom Tov Sheni and not Yom Tov Rishon. They didn't have this fear with regards to Yom Tov Rishon, they had this fear with regards to Yom Tov Sheni. There are others who don't have the girsa Sheni. They just say, anu b'regana, that's the last of Yom Tov, and they eliminate the word Sheni. And that also would solve the problem, because then it wasn't particular to Yom Tov Sheni. The other question you have to ask is, what did they do wrong? We say here, you're not allowed to benefit from a malacha that is done for you on Yom Tov or done for you on Shabbat. What malacha was done for you? What they wanted to do was smell it. Smelling it, you could have accomplished on Yom Tov. So why do you have to wait after Yom Tov? Or why do you even have to wait till after Yom Tov? There was nothing that was done that actually helped them out. So Rashi over here also gives you a sense that this myrtle wasn't simply to smell, but this myrtle was used in a more extensive layout, which is the koshri kilot dechatanim, the note name sham hadas. This is utilized by those individuals who make the chuppah, who make these special canopies for the chatanim, and in making it, they attach myrtle to it, they tie the myrtle to it, and it's part of the decorative nature and the aroma, fragrance they wanted to create. So it wasn't simply that they wanted to smell the myrtle, but they needed it detached because then they could tie it to the kilot. Without the detachment, they wouldn't be able to tie it to the kilot. So the detachment actually helped them out. It wasn't simply about the fragrance, but it was also about being able to tie them on or put them as a part of the kilot, of the canopies of the chatanim. Over there, you understand what the malacha is. Again, it would be a small amount of time to cut the myrtle. Questions is just simply cutting the myrtle. Does it mean cutting the myrtle and then bringing it over? How much time you have to wait? But that would not necessarily be extensive. There are others that deal with the issue from a different perspective, which is that the Gemara, not here, but in other places, talks about whether one can smell something that's attached to the ground. And the Gemara over there seems to conclude that you are allowed to smell something attached to the ground because we're not afraid that you're going to pick the myrtle. Maybe with a fruit or something of that sort, we're afraid that you would pick it off. But with a whole branch of the myrtle, we're not afraid that you're going to cut it. Shem yiktom, shem yiktof on Shabbat or Yom Tov, and therefore you could smell it even when it was attached. Now, if that's the case over here, when you're smelling it detached, what is the benefit, or is there any malacha that's being done here that you would benefit from. So there are those parties in the Rishonim who say, well, it makes a difference whether it's detached or attached. If it's attached, then the person would not engage with it. It's attached to the ground. They would simply smell it and walk away from it. Over here, the myrtle was cut on Yom Tov, and it's now muksa. They cut it on the Yom Tov, and you allow them to utilize or smell it on Yom Tov, then they would engage with the muksa. And engaging with the muksa, that's the problem here. It's nothing to do with the myrtle itself. It's the muksa aspect that is the problem, because it was cut on Yom Tov, and it wasn't prepared before Yom Tov. When it's attached to the ground, it's also muksa, but you're not going to touch it. You're just simply smelling it. Once it's detached, you have the ability to engage with it and engage with the muksa, so that's why we won't let you do it. Others of the Rishonim suggest that it's a gzeirah, because people become the atele zulzule. You're right, you could have smelt it attached to the ground, but now that it's detached, they'll see that it was detached, and then they'll become the zulzule, which is what we saw Rashi say about Yom Tov Sheni, that if we allow them to benefit from this doing of the nachri, even though it's really not beneficial in the sense of they could smell it before, smell it now, nevertheless, that the fact that a Nachri did Malacha, and they're allowing it to be Matirit, then they're going to come to Matir other things where it is beneficial to them. So over here, you wanted to push back on that, and not allow them to benefit from the myrtle. There is Rabbeinu Hananel, who actually has a different girsa than the other Gemara, who says that it's actually Asur to smell something that is attached to the ground. He has the opposite conclusion of that Gemara, and then actually this would fit beautifully. If it's Asur to smell something in the ground, and then the Nachri cut it, he's making it accessible to you. So if you have that girsa over there, actually this Gemara would make a lot more sense. And that's another possible answer as to what the issue was here in this case. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Over Lifnei Teva, this is the last part of the Mishnah. Last part of Mishnah, he says that you have to mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Remember, Rosh Hashanah is like the super Rosh Chodesh. It's the first Rosh Chodesh of the year, so it's a Rosh Chodesh plus. And he also says you make a Tanai in Davening. In Davening you say, if today, if tomorrow, you make a Tanai in Davening. So now, Gemara has a question. Amar Rabba, Kavina Beit Rav Huna, when we were at Rav Huna's house, or Beit Medrash, Ibayalan Maulas Kirsha Rosh Chodesh Rosh Hashanah. Do you mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? Kevin de Chalukim Be Musafim, since they have separate Musafim, Amrinan. So therefore we mention it. There's the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and there is the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Since they have different karbanot, different Musafim, you have to mention them separately, O Dilma. Zichron Echad Ole Lekan Ulekan. That one mention of them, but here really zichron means zichron, but zikaron. Echad ole lekan ulekan works for both of them, because both of them have the term zichron or zikaron used by them. That is, by the shofar, by Rosh Hashanah, it says zichron trua. And by Rosh Chodesh, in Parshat Balotcha, when it talks about the chatzotzrot, over there it says that there will be a zikaron. Nei Hashem Elokeichem, that they will be a memory before Hashem. And over there, it mentions one of the times that it's a memory for Hashem is Breshei Chodeshichem, on your Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the term Zichron or Zikaron is used by both areas. And since it's appropriate to describe both holidays, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh, therefore, it would be okay to mention them in one shot. For instance, when we say Bracha Me'en Shalosh, when you make an Alamichya on Rosh Chodesh, insertion for Rosh Chodesh is V'zachreinu l'tova b'yom ha'Rosh Chodesh hazeh. So we use V'zachreinu as the introduction, as opposed to the holidays, the regalim, where you say V'samcheinu, which should be V'samcheinu b'yom chag ha'sukot hazeh. Over there, by Rosh Chodesh, you say V'zachreinu. And we know that the conclusion of the bracha on Rosh Hashanah is Mikadesh Yisrael v'yom ha'zikaron. So there you have v'yom ha'zikaron as well, where it's mentioned in both places. So you see zikaron as an appropriate descriptor for both of them, and maybe you can use that one word or one term and cover everything. So Amarlan Tanitua, it's our Mishnah. Rabbi Dosu Mero Verlifneateva Vichule, mean Rabbi Dosa's position. And then the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Dosa. So what is it that they're arguing on with Rabbi Dosa? I mentioned this in the Mishnah. Rabbi Dosa makes two comments. He once makes one comment is that you have to mention Rosh Chodesh, and the second comment is that you can do it out tonight. So Gemara's Havamin is my love last year. Sounds like the Chachamim, when they argue on him, is that they are arguing and say, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Dosa says, we do mention it. And the Rabbanan say, we don't mention it. And that'd be your answer. The answer is, we don't mention Rosh Chodesh. Says, lo, lehatanot. Says, no, it's the condition. They didn't like the conditional part of davening. It says, achinami mistavro. That makes a lot of sense. Mevtani bebraito, because over braito says, v'chena ya Rabbi Dosa osev roshei chodeshim shel kol hashana kula. Any Rosh Chodesh used to do this or have this practice. So in any other Rosh Chodesh, there's only one issue. It's not the issue of mentioning Rosh Chodesh. Of course you mention Rosh Chodesh, because it is Rosh Chodesh. The only thing that would be problematic, according to the Chachamim, there would be the Tanai. When he has 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, you aren't certain as to which day is Rosh Chodesh, and therefore you have 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, you're not sure when the Beit Din was going to be Ma'aber the Chodesh. So there you do it out tonight. V'lo hodulo. And the Chachamim disagreed in that case. Where it says, Yamart bishlam olat not mishum hachilo hodulo. If you say the issue here is the Tanai, that's why the Chachamim disagree by Rosh Chodesh. Yamart laskir. If you say that it's mentioning Rosh Chodesh, amai lo hodulo. Why do they have any issue with the Rosh Chodesh davening and mentioning Rosh Chodesh? Svelamai. So your suggestion is lahat not. So you think that the argument here is about whether you can have a Tanai or not. Lama lile fluge bitarte. Why do you have to have two mentions of their disagreement? We have to mention our Mishnah, where it's talking about Rosh Hashanah, and the mention in the Braita that's talking about Rosh Chodesh. Why isn't one of those arguments sufficient, and we could extrapolate from one to the other? We could extrapolate from Rosh Chodesh to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Chodesh. When I said Tzricha, you wouldn't have been able to do that. Di ashmiina Rosh Hashanah avamina baha kamri rabbanon delo mishum da'atil zulebe. The reason the rabbanon disagreed with Rabbi Dos and Rosh Hashanah is because Rosh Hashanah is not only a day that is special, but it's a day that involves isur melacha. And if you say a conditional or make a conditional statement in your davening, people are going to come in mizalzel in the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. They're not going to think that it's a real yom arika, that's a single kedusha. They're going to think, this is not real. This is kind of yes, kind of no. And they'll be mizalzel in the day. For b'sheich chodeshim shekol hashana kula, any other Rosh Chodesh, what's the big deal? There is no isur melacha. So if there wouldn't be mizalzel, there's not to be mizalzel in because it's a regular day aside from the additions that we put in davening on the musaf that we say. Same amodule to Rabbi Dosa, so maybe they would agree to Rabbi Dosa in that instance. So that's why we have to say that they don't agree even by Rosh Chodesh. Vid mar baha, had you only mentioned Rosh Chodesh, baha kamar Rabbi Dosa, we would have thought that's where Rabbi Dosa has his position. Of baha, when it came to Rosh Hashanah, even modulu the Rabbanon, he would have agreed with the Rabbanon that that's a problem with Zuzuzay. So therefore, tzricha, we need both cases. We need the case of Rosh Chodesh and the case of Rosh Hashanah in order to teach us that their argument persists in both places. That their argument about whether you should mention it out tonight, Rabbi Dos is saying yes in both places and the Chachamim saying no in both places. The question that we really have to address is, what about the question they started with, which is, Zikaron o echad olelu kulan or not? Is Zikaron enough or is it that you mention Rosh Chodesh separately? So now we continue in the Gemara, second to last line, Meitavit. Rosh Hashanah shechaliot b'Shabbat. Shoshanah that falls out on Shabbat. B'Shamay omrim mitpalel eser. B'Talil omrim mitpalel teisha. Shemai says you say 10 brachot on that day, and B'Talil says you say 9. V'mito. And if this is correct, Beit Shammai, achatas remi b'ilel, they should have mentioned 11. Machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is to what you do with Kedushat Hayom. What they agree about is that you have always, in Shemoneh Esrei, you have the first three brachot. The first three brachot are given. They are the introductory brachot of Shemoneh Esrei, and in Shemoneh Esrei you say, which is Magen Avraham, Michayeh Amitim, and Akel HaKadosh, or Amelech HaKadosh in this instance. Those are the first three brachot. The latter three, the last three brachot of Shemoneh Esrei are also there, always there as well, which is HaMachazir Shechinato LeTzion, HaTov Shimcha UNechaneh LeOdot, and HaMavreich Etamo Yisrael BaShalom. Those are always there. That's a given. So the minimum is 6 plus whatever you have in the middle. On a regular weekday, we have 12, 13 brachot in the middle. Shabbat, Yom Tov, we have one bracha in the middle. So it's Sheva, we have 7 on Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, we have 3 brachot in the middle, which is Machiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot. So that's how Beit Hillel gets to the 9. Question is, what do you do with Dushat Hayom? Mikadesh Yisrael ve'Yom HaZikaron. So that Mikadesh Yisrael ve'Yom HaZikaron, what do we do with it? How do we deal with it? There's a machloka Tanaim in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, but here Beit Hillel says it's subsumed. It's subsumed in one of the brachot. We do it in the bracha of Malchiot. We say Melech HaKol Aretz, Mikadesh Yisrael ve'Yom HaZikaron. So we have Malchiot and the Kedushat Hayom are incorporated together in a single bracha. So now the Gemara's question is, if Rosh Chodesh was a separate entity and was supposed to be mentioned separately on Rosh Hashanah, then Beit Shammai should have 11 brachot. For Beit Hillel, it's not going to matter. Beit Hillel subsumes Kedushat Hayom within the bracha of Malchiot. So if you added it in Rosh Chodesh, it should also be subsumed there. But Beit Shammai, who breaks out separately for Kedushat Hayom of Shabbat, would have to also then break out a separate bracha for the Rosh HaChodesh. Whereas for Beit Hillel here, it's a Rosh Hashanah that falls out on Shabbat. You would say, Melech HaKol Aretz, Mikadesh HaShabbat, V'Yisrael ve'Yom HaZikaron. That's how Beit Hillel would deal with it. Beit Shammai says, no, you got to separate it out. And if you're going to separate it out and make a separate bracha for Mikadesh HaShabbat, for the Dushat HaYom of Shabbat, then you also have to separate out for Rosh Chodesh. The fact that they don't require a separate bracha for Rosh Chodesh tells you that they don't believe that there's a separate entity called Rosh Chodesh. And that's what the Gemara asks. Meet the Beit Shammai, Echad Eser Mibayle. If Beit Shammai really believes you break out, when you have the bracha of Mikadesh HaShabbat, it goes separately. Then also for Rosh Chodesh, you should also have to have a separate bracha. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Shani Rosh Chodesh. Tokshu Kolel, the Shacharit Varvit, Kolel Nami B'Musafim. But there's a difference because of the way that Rosh Chodesh is treated in the other time periods. Rosh Chodesh, in general, how do we mention Rosh Chodesh? How do we deal with Rosh Chodesh? In Shacharit and Mariv and Mincha, how do we deal with Shacharit, with Rosh Chodesh? Yaleh V'Yavo. Doesn't have a separate bracha. It's subsumed in the davening. It's in the bracha of Avoda and the bracha of Ritzei. And we add in Yalevi Avo. It's only when it comes to the Musaf that we separate out and we say Mikadesh Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim. So it only has a bracha when it comes, separate bracha when it comes to Musaf. Whereas on Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, when you daven Shacharit, Arvit, and Mincha, what do you say? You conclude Mikadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Mikadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. So, in that case, we mention Yom Tov in every one of the brachot. So that's what Rabbi Zeira suggests over here. With regards to Yom Tov, and regards to Shabbat, where their influence, or the day itself, impacts every bracha of every davening. On Shabbat, you say Mekadesh Shabbat by each one of them. And on Yom Tov, you say Mekadesh Yisrael as Manim. You separate out each bracha. Every tefillah has a separate bracha. And when it comes to Musaf, they also have to be separate. They also have to have Mekadesh Shabbat and the Kedushas Hayom be separate. But in a case like Rosh Chodesh, where in every other davening they're subsumed through Yalev Yavo, then also in Musaf you can throw it in. You can put it together with something else inside of Musaf. And so we don't have any proof then from Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai wouldn't necessarily have mentioned it separately. Rosh Chodesh is different than Yom Tov and Shabbat. Yom Tov and Shabbat are days that impact every davening, whereas Rosh Chodesh is only impactful with regards to Musaf. So Gemara says, V'atanya, Rosh Chodesh kol yot b'Shabbat. So here's the problem. What happens when Rosh Chodesh falls on Shabbat? Beit Shammai omrim mitpalel shmona, or Beit Hillel omrim mitpalel sheva. So Beit Hillel says you daven seven brachot, three in the beginning, three in the end, one in the middle is Mikadesh HaShabbat v'Yisrael v'Roshei Chodashim. Seven brachot. Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh are combined. On the other hand, for Beit Shammai, it says eight brachot. Why do they have eight brachot? Because they separate out Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. Now, if your thesis is right, that Rosh Chodesh, because it doesn't affect all the davenings, only for Musaf, that they wouldn't separate out Rosh Chodesh, then why is Beit Shammai splitting up Rosh Chodesh and Shabbat? Rosh Chodesh should have been thrown together with Shabbat. The fact that they don't do that shows you that they don't subscribe to what you said. Kasha. That is a problem. That leaves us in a difficulty. We cannot give this explanation for Beit Shammai. And therefore, Kevin de B'Shar Shabbatot, even on a regular Shabbat, Beit Shammai requires you to split out Rosh Chodesh. So too, by Rosh Hashanah, they would have required you to split out Rosh Chodesh. The fact that they don't, and there's only a bracha for Shabbat and for Yom Tov, meaning that those are only two brachot to get separate mention, but not for Rosh Chodesh. The fact that they only require 10 brachot and not 11 brachot shows you that they don't mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. And then that is the way that we be paskan halacha, which is that we do not mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah except in a hidden way. We hint to it, but we never mention explicitly that it is Rosh Chodesh. With kolel atzmo, and the ability to put together different themes, is Tanayehi. It's Machloket Tanaim. The Tanya. Shabbat she'yachal liyot b'Rosh Chodesh. Shabbat that falls out on Rosh Chodesh. U b'cholosho moed. Arvit, Shacharit, u'mincha, mitpalel k'darko sheva. On the other davenings, you daven seven brachot, because it's Shabbat. And Rosh Chodesh, or Chol HaMoed, we mention them in Yalev V'Yavo. So we deal with them in Yalev V'Yavo. So you retain the basic tefillah of Shabbat, and you just add in the mention of Rosh Chodesh, Me'ina Me'ora, in Avoda, in Ritzei. And you mention Yalev V'Yavo either if it's Rosh Chodesh or for Yom Tov if it's Chol HaMoed. V'Omer Me'ina Me'ora B'Avoda, you mention the theme of the day in Avoda, Yalev V'Yavo. Rebbelezer Omer B'Hoda, Rebbelezer argues and says you mention it in the bracha of Atov Shimcha, from the Chanel Adot, from Modim. Not in the bracha of Ritzei. We obviously passed that we mentioned in Ritzei. V'im lo amar makzivin oto. If you didn't say it, you have to go back and repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Meaning that it's an integral part of Shmoneh Esrei. And if you miss it, then you have to go back. The question of why you have to go back, we discussed this in the Gemara and Brachot. There are two possibilities as to why you have to go back. Is it that when you don't mention Mein Amora, when you don't mention the Yalav Yovo, it's as if you didn't daven Shmon Esrei? You failed to daven Shmon Esrei because you didn't mention Yalav Yovo, and that's an integral part of it. Or do we say that your failure is not in the Shmon Esrei, you daven Shmon Esrei. Failure is to mention Mein Amora. You have to go back and say it because you didn't do Mein Amora. You have to mention the theme of the day or the nature of the day. So you did daven Shmon Esrei, but you missed out on Mein Amora. You have to repeat for that. That has nafka minot alocha in terms of making mistakes and repeating the Shmon Esrei later. Discuss that in the Gemara Brachot. But that's one of two possibilities to frame the problem of why you have to go back. You miss the other viavo. Obe musafim, when it comes to musaf, matchil b'shal Shabbat, umisayim b'shal Shabbat, v'omer kedushat hayom be'emtza. In musaf, you begin with the theme of Shabbat, you end with the theme of Shabbat, means mekadesh Shabbat, and in the middle, you mention, whether it's the Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh, you make mention of them about their Musafim, you make mention of them in the middle. So you would begin with, again, the theme of Menucha, which would be related to Shabbat. And at the end, you mention Mekadesh Shabbat. And in the middle, you'll deal with the theme of Rosh Chodesh or of Yom Tov. So here you have a Tano who believes that you don't mention in the Bracha at all the other item, your Kolel. You include Rosh Chodesh in the Baracha, meaning thematically, internally in the Baracha, you mention it, but it doesn't cause any change in the opening line and the closing line of the Baracha, which all remains about Shabbat in the Musafim. That's not the way that we deal with it. We, when we mention Musafim of Rosh Chodesh, Musafim of Chol HaMoed, then our conclusion of the Baracha is also changed to reflect that. So on Shabbat, that is Rosh Chodesh, we would say, Mekadesh HaShabbat Yisrael V'Roshei Chodoshim, as the including bracha of the Musafim, and not completely ignore Rosh Chodesh. But here you have an opinion that says that even though you mention Rosh Chodesh, you won't include it in the including bracha. Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, say, Omrim bo makom shezakuk l'sheva, patchil b'shel Shabbat, umisayim shel Shabbat, v'omayar kdushat hayom be'emtza. So they're very similar to the Tana Kama, but the Tana Kama only makes that comment with regards to Musaf. They actually make this comment with regards to every davening on Shabbat. And they say that for every tefillah on Shabbat, since it's the seven brachot that you make, then you open up with the theme of Shabbat, you close with Mekadesh Shabbat, but in the middle you mention Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov. You don't do it through the Yalav Yavo, you don't mention Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov through the use of Yalav Yavo, but rather you mention it internally, inside of the bracha of Mekadesh Shabbat. On a weekday, they would agree. You would do it in Ritzei and Avoda, but any day that you would always daven seven brachot, and that day you mentioned it internally to that bracha, the seventh bracha, meaning the middle bracha, but they don't influence the opening line or the closing line. They just have an addition in the middle. My Havalah. What's the answer? What's the Psak Halacha with regards to this issue of Rosh Chodesh mentioned in Rosh Hashanah? Amar Chista, Zikaron Echad Ole Lo Lekan Olekan. One zikaron is sufficient for both of them. Which is our psak halacha, that one zikaron deals with both of them. That one, the zikaron, or mentioning zikaron, covers both Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh. So what is the answer? What do we do on Rosh Hashanah? We have an interesting way of dealing with this in Rosh Hashanah. And if you look in the Tosafot has a number of explanations here. So he says, if you look in this, the last Tosafot on the Amud, he says, Zichron Echad Chodol Lekulam, he says, Perish Berashbam, it's just below the Divrei Matchil, Perish Berashbam, the Ain Tzarich Laskir Mikraot Shal Musaf, Lo Di Yom Tov, Velo Di Rosh Chodesh. You don't have to mention the Sukkim at all. How we daven Musaf is, we say, Kakatuv B'Torah Techa, it says in your Torah, Uvsheichad Sheichem, Takriv Ola Lashem, and then we quote the Sukkim from Parshat Pinchas, and that is the central part of Musaf. That is what Musaf's about. We quote the Psukim of the Karban Musaf. So the Rabbi Shvam says that you actually don't have to mention the Psukim explicitly. You could also just say, and it says in your Torah, and that's it. If you stopped there and moved on, you would have been fine. Just say, in the Torah it tells us you have to bring a Musaf, and then you move on, you don't actually have to quote the Psukim. He premises that on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. It's a Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah that says when it comes to the Psukim of Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, that you don't necessarily have to quote the Psukim. You could just say, Ubetorat Chakatuf, and Ubetekat Chakatuf. You could just say, mention that these types of Psukim, or these themes, are mentioned in the Torah, the Navi, and the Ketuvim, and you don't have to quote the Psukim. If you start quoting the Psukim, then you have to quote the numbers, the proper number of them, three of each, and then we add on a tenth one. But if you could just say, Ubetorat Chakatuf, that's sufficient. So he extrapolates that and says over here too, Ubetorat Chak is sufficient. Well, if that's the case, then we don't really have to mention Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov in reality. So when you're davening on Rosh Hashanah, if you just say B'Torah Tzchak Katuv, And then you happen to mention the psukim of Rosh Hashanah, not of Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't really matter. Because the Torah Tchach Ketuv is enough to cover everything. So that's his solution to this problem. Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam says that that din of Rav Chinina from the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is unique to Machiot, Zruchonot, Veshofarot. But by Musaf, you have to maskir, you have to mention all the psukim that are associated with the Musaf. But by Rosh Chodesh, you don't have to mention them, because at the end of the Karbanot Musaf, in the Torah, Parshat Pinchas, it says, it lists out the Karbanot of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which is Parachad, Ailachad, Veshiva Kvasim, which is the Olot, and then there's a Seir Achad, Lichaper, Seir Achad, Lichatat, and at the end, the last Pasuk says, Milvat, Olat, Achodesh, Uminchata. Aside from the Karbanot of Rosh Chodesh, embedded in the Psukim is this, I don't call it disclaimer, but a point which says that not only do you bring the Karbanot of Rosh Hashanah, but that's besides the Karbanot of Rosh Chodesh. So you do make a mention of them within the Karbanot or Psukim of Rosh Hashanah, and that's sufficient. You don't have to mention anything explicitly, just the Milvad, Olat HaChodesh, Minchata, Umilvad, Olat HaTamid, Minchata, aside from the Rosh Chodesh and from the Mincha, and that would be sufficient to deal with it. Now, he then was Magbia in Machzoro. He changed his Machzor. He had a Machzor. Reinu Tam said, I gotta change something in the Machzor. And he says, after the Musaf, it has to say, Ushnei Sirim Lechaper, Ushnei Tmidim Kehuchatam. Instead of saying Seir Achad, which is the Chatat, the one Korban Chatat that comes for the Korbanot Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, he changed it to the plural. And says, now it should read, Shnei Sirim Lechaper. There should be two Sirim Lechaper. It should be in plural, because it's really two Sirei Chatat. There's one for Rosh Hashanah, and one for Rosh Chodesh, which is actually, we do that. We mention Shnei Sirechim Lechaper. We mention it that way. And the Ri says, Enu Nira, that what the Rabbeinu Tam did, the Chalek, to separate between Machiot, Zichronot, and Shofarot, and the Karbanei Musaf. And he thinks that that suggestion of the Rashbam, that you only have to say B'Torah Tchach Ketuv, you don't have to mention anything about Rosh Chodesh. The other thing is, he mentions over here, an interesting thing, that the Gaonim didn't allow them to mention Rosh Chodesh on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, because he says that the people were going to come to Mizalzel in Rosh Hashanah, because they would come to think that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the real day, because that's Rosh Chodesh, and the second day of Rosh Hashanah is just an additional day, it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore, the second day is on Bet of Tishrei, not on Aleph Tishrei. And if you only mention the Rosh Chodesh Shem on the first day, then people are going to come to say, yeah, you know, the second day is not real. We know we count everything from the first day. So they wouldn't let them mention on the first day, not because of everything that we mentioned until now, but simple problem that there would be Mizalzel. If you mention Rosh Chodesh, people know that the first day of Rosh Hashanah is the real game. And the second day of Rosh Hashanah, they really don't have to worry about. And the Ri says, Enu Nira. And then we have a limud. The Gemara mentions in other places that Bekesel Yom Chagenu. It is the Shir Shal Yom that we say in Yom Chamishi. Over there, the Gemara dash on the pasuk, it says, "Bekesel Yom Chagenu, Ezu Chag Shalivanam Mitkaseh Ba," which is the holiday on which the moon is covered. It's only one holiday that falls out when the moon is covered, and that is the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. And then the Gemara dashes after that, it says, "Chok Yisrael Hu O Mishpat Lokei Yaakov," which says that there's a din on that day, and that's how the Gemara learns that it's a Yom HaDin on your Rosh Hashanah. Based on that, he says, well, what does that mean? Ezo chag she'achodesh mitkaseh ba. What does it mean, mitkaseh? We say literally mitkaseh. There's no moon, because it's the new moon. It's the new month. But he says, what does it mean, mitkaseh ba? Mitkaseh means that it's hidden. Rosh Chodesh doesn't appear at all in Rosh Hashanah. Lo b'tfilah ve'lo b'zulatah, he says. Not in tfilah, and not in any part of Rosh Hashanah. Meaning that we don't mention it in the Karbanot in the morning, in the Karbanot that we say before davening, you don't mention Rosh Chodesh at all. That's the whole idea. Rosh Chodesh is completely hidden or subverted on the day of Rosh Hashanah. The way that we deal with it is somewhat akin to what the Rabbeinu Tam does, which is that we say Musfei in plural, and we mention the Shnei Si'irim in plural as well. Shnei Si'irim Lechaper, and through that plurality, we capture Rosh Chodesh, plus the term milvad olat haChodesh uMinchata. So that's how we deal with the problem on Rosh Hashanah mentioning Rosh Chodesh. We don't mention explicitly, but we hint to it in the Karbanei Musaf when we mention the Musafim of Rosh Hashanah. We make some little adjustments that hint at the Rosh Chodesh internally within the davening of the Musaf, regards to the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh in the context of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. When we were at Rav Huna's house, what about the bracha of Shechiyanu when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Since they come on occasion, So you should make a bracha. Shechianu v'kimanu v'higyanu lazman hazeh. The bracha is about something that happens on an annual basis, something that comes on a regular basis, but is not there all the time. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur would definitely qualify for that. Odilma, even lo ikri regalim lo amrina. Or maybe Shechianu is only relevant for the regalim from the Yomim Tovim, but it's not relevant for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Lavi yade. He didn't have an answer to it. Kiatai be Rav Yehuda. When I came to Rav Yehuda's place, Amar, he said. So here you have Rabba querying Rav Huna. Rav Huna was a Talmud of Rav as well, or a later Talmud of Rav. And you have Rav Yehuda, who's also a Talmud of Rav, an older and more primary Talmud of Rav. So you have here, they're asking Rav Huna. Rav Huna didn't have it, so they go to Rav Yehuda to find out the answer. And he says, Ana, akrachadata nami aminazman. He says, I would make a brach of Shechianu even on a new gourd. When I have a gourd for the first time that year, I make a brach of Shechianu. You're asking me about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? If I'm willing to make a Shechianu on a gourd, I can always make a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You're allowed to make it for any new item, anything that comes on a cyclical basis that's not there all year round. You're allowed to make a brach of Shechianu on. So why shouldn't you make a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Tamalei Rishut lo kami ba'ilei. He says, I'm not asking optionally, can you make a brach of Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Of course you could make it. Ma ba'ilei chova mai. Isn't an obligation to say Shechianu. Like by the Yomim Tovim, we say Shechianu. It's an obligation to say Shechianu as part of the Kedushat HaYom. It's part of the Kiddush. We say Shechianu. So here, are you obligated to say Shechianu by Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Or if you choose to say it, you can. So he's saying, I want to know not whether if I can say it. I want to know if you must say Shechianu then. Amalei Rabbi Shmuel Damrei Tarvayu. Einu merzman al b'shlosh regalim. Says Rabbi Shmuel both said, Rabbi Yehuda is a Talmud of Rabbi and Shmuel. So that when it comes to this, only time you're obligated to say Zman is with regards to the Shlosh Regalim. Three major holidays where you go up all the other regal. Meitavei. Ten chelek l'shiv'a v'gam l'shmona. Give a portion to the 7 and also to the 8. Rabbi Lezer omer shiv'a elu zayin yemei breshit. Those are the 7 days of creation. Shmona elu chet yemei milah. The 8 are the days of the milah. And the significance over here of 7 and 8, there's a unique grouping of 7 days. And that is the creation, the 7 days of creation. And there's a new unique grouping of 8 days, and that is Yemei Milah, where the 8 day is significant, and on the 7 days, where the 7th day is significant. That's Rabbi Eliezer's interpretation of this pasuk from Kohelet. Yeshua Mer, Shiva Elu Yeshiva Yemei Pesach. The Shiva refers to the 7 days of Pesach. Shmona Elu Shmona Yemei Chag. That refers to 8 days of Sukkot. Ugshomer Vigam. When it says Vigam, which is a riboy, so that riboy is the Rabot Atzeret, which is Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. So now he says that that pasuk incorporates Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So what are they all incorporated for? What's this pasuk referencing that they're all incorporated for? So he says, my love, what do you think this is for? Lizman. Isn't that to teach you that you say Shechianu by all of them? That's what the common theme is, or the common reason to mention this pasuk. Says, no, the bracha. The common theme is that they all get their own bracha. They get a special bracha when you daven. You say, Mikadesh HaShapar, you say, Mikadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, Mikadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron, Mikadesh Yisrael V'yom HaKippurim. You have a special bracha that you add in. Achinami Mistavro, that makes a lot of sense. This Akadat called the Zman. If you think that the issue here is making Shechianu, that's the common denominator to them. Zman Goshiva Mi'igah. Wait a minute. We don't make the bracha of Shechianu all 7 days. It says here, the 7 refers to the 7 days of Pesach. 8 refers to 8 days of Sukkot. Since when do you make Shechianu? Every day of Pesach or every day of Sukkot. You make one Shechianu and that's it. So if you're referencing the 7 days and 8 days, it's got to be something that's relevant for all 7 days and relevant for all 8 days. What's relevant for all the days? That's the bracha. The concluding bracha has relevance every day. But a Shechianu does not have relevance every day. Says, hello, Kasha. That's not a real question. Because if you forget to say Shechianu on the first day, you can make it the next day. Or the day after. Meaning that you can have an option to make Shechianu on all 7 days. All 7 days are re'uim l'Shechianu because if you forget to say Shechianu day one, you make it on second, third, fourth. You can make it in each day if you had forgotten to say it earlier. By nature, they are all re'uim l'Shechianu. If you happen to say it on the first day, then you don't need to say it anymore. But if you didn't say it on the first day, you could say it on the remaining days. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, how can you say that? Mikol Magal, being a kos, you need a cup. You have to do the Shechianu ala kos yayin. And a kos yayin you really only have on the first day of Yom Tov. You have it on a day that has Yisur Malacha, we have Mekiddush, then you have a kos. So now you're saying to me that every day is ro'ui for Shechianu. If you got it first day, make it the second day, the third day. But that's not really true because you need a kos, and the days that you have a kos is really the first day. So that's the day that it's roi the shechianu on the chol moed. In the interim days, you're not going to have a kos around. So why would you make a shechianu? So lema misaile the Rav Nachman. So maybe this is a proof to Rav Nachman. Damar Rav Nachman zman omro afilu b'shuk. And you can say berkat shechianu even without a kos yayin. You don't need a kos yayin. You're walking through the shuk. It's yom tov. Make shechianu and that's it. Shechianu is not on the cup of wine. The shechianu is on the kedushat hayom, on the holiness of the day. And you can do that anywhere. It's not bound to the yayin. It's not bound to kiddush. It happens to be that we do it then. It's a nice time to do it because you're mekadesh the yom, so it makes sense to do that. But that's not an absolute necessity. You can make shechianu anywhere you want. And this would help Rav Nachman's position that you can make shechianu any one of the days, even though it's not with the ghosts. And that would support Rav Nachman's position. So it's halokash, dikulei ghosts. What's the big deal? So he didn't make shechianu on the first day and he has to make another day. You'll bring him a cup of wine and he'll make shechianu. And if you have to make shechianu on the ghosts, you can improvise. So you're not making kiddush. But you can bring a cup of wine, and you can make shechianu on the cup of wine. So it can't be a proof to Rav Nachman. There's no reason here to say that you don't have a kos here. And number two is, it's no proof that you say shechianu on any of the other days. Because if you want to, you can bring a kos and you make shechianu. Mar says, atinach atzeret v'Rosh Hashanah. That works well for Shavuot and Rosh Hashanah, that you can bring in a cup of wine and make birkat shechianu. Yom HaKippurim, Echiyovit. If you want to make shechianu on Yom Kippur, ala kos, what are you going to do? How are you going to make shechianu ala kos on Yom Kippur? Im yivarech alei v'shati lei. If you make the bracha and then drink it, kemen damar zman, kablei alei v'aser lei. Once you make the bracha of shechianu, you've accepted Yom HaKippurim, and you can no longer drink it, because it's already Yom Kippur. Damar lei Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba the Rav. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba says to Rav, when a case where it got cloudy on Erev Shabbat, and by accident they were mekabel Shabbat, and they made the bracha, mi bedalt. Did you separate from Malacha? Rav lei in bedilna, I stopped doing Malacha at that point. Because once you've accepted the Kedushat HaYom, you can't do Malacha, or you're bound by the Kedushat HaYom. So over here, by Yom HaKippurim, once you make Shechianu, which is the Shechianu who's on the Kedushat HaYom, then you are bound, because now you are in Yom Kippur. By saying the Shechianu, it's indicative of the fact that you're on Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur precludes drinking. It's one of the Chamesh Dinuim. You cannot let it drink on Yom Kippur. The way this has huge halachic nafkaminos, it's a very important thing. It's a mistake that a lot of people make, unfortunately, on the Erev Yom Kippur, which is that it's one of the days when the women do come to shul, but they want to light the candles before they come to shul. So they light the candles at home for Yom Kippur. We light candles for Yom Kippur, that's our minhag, and we make a bracha over them. So they make bracha over the candles, and then they make a shechianu on the candles. As women, many women do, they make the shechianu associated with the lighting of the candles. That's when they make shechianu. Even though it's a minhag that developed, but it's not so clear that it has a lot of halachic basis to make the shechianu then. Raises issues later on, which I'll explain in 1 second. But the shechianu, if they say it, that means that they're mekabel Yom HaKippurim. They say shechianu when they light the candles for Yom HaKippurim, it's Yom Kippur for them. It's mutually exclusive to say shechianu and say it's not Yom Kippur. So what are you going to say? I'll make a condition. I'm lighting the candles like they do sometimes by Shabbat. I'm lighting the candles for Shabbat, but I'm not accepting Shabbat. Great. So I light the candles for Yom Kippur, I'm not accepting Yom Kippur. You can't then make the bracha of shechianu if you didn't accept Yom Kippur. You don't have Kedushat HaYom. And if you do make the bracha of shechianu, you automatically have Kedushat HaYom of Yom HaKippurim. If that's the case, the women, many times after that, go with their husbands to shul and they drive to shul. They can't do that anymore. They've accepted Yom Kippur by saying shechianu. So if a woman on Erev Yom HaKippurim is planning to do malach, go to shul afterwards, she cannot make the bracha of shechianu on the candles, because that would automatically force her into position when she's accepted Yom Kippur, and it would be a problem. As you see from the Gemara here, the bracha of shechianu automatically brings in Kedushat HaYom. You have to be very careful about that. The other issue, which is brought up, Rav Shlomo Zalman has a tshuva about this, regards to Kiddush. When it comes to Kiddush on the night of Yom Tov, the husband's making Kiddush. The woman already made shechianu by the lighting of the candles. She made the shechianu by lighting the candles, the husband's making Kiddush, and then he makes shechianu in the Kiddush. But the shechianu is not relevant for the woman, because she already made shechianu. So is that, right, does that shechianu become a hefsek for the woman? And is she allowed to answer amen to that shechianu? Shlomo Zalman says, no problem, you can answer amen. The question's interesting, because I'm not so sure why it's such a difficult question, because it's thematically connected, and doesn't really feel like that it's a major hefsek, but the poskim at least address the issue and say that the woman can answer amen, and can have the shechianu in the middle of Kiddush, it's not an interruption for her. But the better situation is if she doesn't make shechianu by the lighting of the candles, then the shechianu by Kiddush is relevant to her, is really relevant to her, because then that's her shechianu as well. And a woman who doesn't have a strong minhag to say shechianu by the lighting of the candles probably should wait until Kiddush to have the shechianu together with the Kiddush rather than with the lighting of the candles. You can't light candles on Shabbat. It's clear if you're lighting candles that you're not being Mekabel Shabbat. So there you can break between the Kabbalat Shabbat and the Bracha of the Neirot Shabbat. Whereas by the Shechianu by its, the Bracha itself has to be on Kedushat Hayom. That's what the whole point of the Bracha is, Kedushat Hayom. If you make the Bracha, you have to have Kedushat Hayom. They can't be separated. By the laying of the candles, you can try to separate between the Kabbalah of Shabbat and the mitzvah of lighting candles for Shabbat. And you can bifurcate there. That's why there's a difference between them. Alright, so now, Gemara says, okay, so, Ulevarech Alei, Ulenachei. You know what you should do? Make a bracha of Shechianu on the coast and just put the coast down afterwards. What's the big deal? Why can't you just make the bracha of Shechianu and leave the coast there? Hemavarech, Tzarech Shitom. Make a Bori Pri Agafen on the coast, you have to taste the coast. You can't make a Bori Pri Agafen and just leave it over afterwards. So Gemara says, okay, Leit Fili Yenoka, give it over to a child. You'll make the bracha Bori Pri Agafen, and then you'll give it to a child to drink from it afterwards. Gemara says, Leit Hilchoto Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Lo Chazan like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Doma to the Misrach. So here, the case of Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is in another situation. It's a Gemara that we talked about in Shabbat, Leit Fili Yenoka, the Israel. Let's give it over to a child, a Jewish child, to do it. Over there, we said allow a non-Jewish child to do it or a non-Jew to do it. The Gemara there asks, why can't you get a Jewish child to do it? The Gemara says, after the Misrach. We're afraid that if he does it now, when he gets older, he'll continue to act in this way. And we don't know Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And Rashi mentions that here. Because I don't know where in the Gemara, I don't know where in Shas Rav Acha Bar Yaakov is mentioned. So suppose it says that the Gemara in Shabbat that has this question, why don't we give it to Israel? It says the Gemara had a Mesorah that question was posed by Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And that's the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov here, is that he was the one who posed that question, and that's where this position is assigned to him. Even though, again, it's not mentioned anywhere else in Shas, it's not explicitly mentioned that he has this position. But the problem is, if you give it to a young child to drink, he's going to grow up thinking that you can drink the Kiddush, the wine of Kiddush, on Yom HaKippurim. So we don't want that to happen, because of Dilma Ati the Misrach. Tosafot here mentions and notes that it's very important. That's only something that recurs every year. Something that recurs on a regular basis, we won't give to a child. Something that happens once in a while, once in a blue moon, then we don't worry about Shema Yisrach. For instance, if you have a Brit Milah on Tisha B'Av, or you have a Brit Milah on Yom HaKippurim, then you have to give the wine to somebody. Over there, we give it to a child to drink. There, we don't worry about it because Lo Atu L'Misrach. It's not something that happens every year on Yom Kippur. There'll be plenty for Yom HaKippurim where this child will not drink wine. If every year you give it to the child to drink wine, then that's Atu L'Misrach, because that's something that recurs, and he's always seeing the same practice. That's something that will cause a problem. Something happens once in his whole lifetime, that's not something that he's going to extrapolate into a practice that he would continue afterwards. So Tosafot differentiates in that case. How we handle it on Tisha B'Av and Yom HaKippurim today is different than what exactly is suggested here, but Tosafot mentions this difference or this issue. He also mentions here something that's a complete aside, which is, and you don't make a bracha of Shechianu on the Brit Milah, because of the problem of Sarah the Yanuka. The child's in pain, and therefore you don't make a bracha of Shechianu. This turns out to be a major, major machloket rishonim. When we were doing the sugya in Kodshim, I brought all the makorot down for you about the different rishonim as to what position is regarding saying Shechianu by a Brit Milah. The biggest problem is that the Gemara never addresses it. The Gemara never mentions that a Shechianu was made by a Brit Milah. Again, that's not evidence that there is not. We make Shechianu by things that are not mentioned in the Gemara. But that is a machloket rishonim. And today the practice is in Chutz Laaretz, at least Ashkenazim, don't make a Birkat Shechianu by a Brit Milah in Eretz Yisrael because of the Gra, who cited and believed that those rishonim believe that you do say Shechianu by a Brit Milah was correct. Therefore, because of the Minyan Gaya in Eretz Yisrael, they do make a Shechianu by the Brit Milah in Eretz Yisrael, and not in Chutz Laaretz. Happens to be a total aside that he mentions here, but it's just something to note that it's a major, major machloket Rishonim with regards to this. So now, Gemara says, Mayavi Allah. So now, what's the din in the end? What's the din with this Shechianu on Yom HaKippurim? How are we going to deal with this Shechianu on Yom Kippur? So, Shadru Arabonon, the Rav Yemar Sabo. So they sent Rav Yemar Sabo, or Rav Yeva Sabo, as the other Girsa, to meet Rav Chista. They went to send him on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Go and find out what he's doing, and then come back and tell us what he did. Sent him on Erev Rosh Hashanah to find out what his practice was. So the question that we posed before, is there a Birkat Hazman that's associated with Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The two come together as a package. So if you had Shechianu on one, you'd have it by the other. Already with Yom Kippur, we ran into a problem. How do you actually execute it? How do you say Shechianu? And the second thing that we discussed over here was whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are even included. So we tried to say that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are included because of the Pasuk of Gam, is the Rabot, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We said maybe that's something about Shechianu. The Gemara backed away from that because of the problem of Yom Kippur. But what is the halacha in the end? Ki chazya, Amarlei, dalyo, the retiva rafsule biduchte. So he says, it's an expression here. I don't know if this was a colloquialism in their time, but he says, when you pick up moist wood, it's clear that you need the place. Nobody picks up moist wood because it's not good for firewood. You would pick up branches or wood that's dried out because that you would use for firewood. If you're picking up moist wood, it's clear that you're not utilizing it for firewood and you need the place where the wood is. So he said he was hinting, he knew that Rav Yehuda Saba that was there was only there to look at something or to see something. He wasn't there just, you know, stam, he had showed up, it was time to come. He came because he knew that he was looking for something. So Aitulei Kasadir Chamra, he went ahead and they brought him a cup of wine, the Kaddish, he made Kiddish, Vamar Zman, and he said, Birkat Shechiyanu Vihilchata, Omer Zman, Biz Rosh Hashanah, Uve Yom HaKippurim. Loch is that we do make Birkat Shechiyanu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Vihilchata Zman, Omro Afil Bishuk. And the other loch is, obviously, that you can make a Bracha Shechiyanu without a kos. Because the fact that you make it on Yom HaKippurim means that you make it separated or segregated from the kos, because on Yom Kippur we just proved that you couldn't say it al kos. So where do we make Shechiyanu by Yom HaKippurim? If you remember from the davening on Yom Kippur on the night, by Kol Nidre. Right after Kol Nidre, we have a couple of psukim, and then we say the bracha of Shechiyanu. Question is, what is the bracha of Shechiyanu doing over there? Why do we do the bracha of Shechiyanu over there? So the bracha of Shechiyanu, we make it with regards to the day, uniqueness or something special on the day. So with regards to any other holiday, you do it by the Kiddush. You do it by Kiddush and the acceptance of Shat HaYom. So that's where you make the bracha of Shechiyanu. By Yom Kippurim, you lack a Kiddush, and you want to associate it with Kedushat HaYom, or the theme of the day. And so Rav Aleveitchik Zatzal used to note that the Shechiyanu there is strategically placed. It's placed right after we quote the psukim with regards to Slicha and Kapara on Yom Kippurim. There we mention the psukim, V'nislach, L'chol Adat B'nei Yisrael. We mention the fact that there's going to be forgiveness or Kapara granted on this day. And right after that, we make the Bracham Shechiyanu. Because that's the beginning of the day. And that is what the Kedushat HaYom of Yom Kippur is about. Kedushat HaYom of Yom Kippur is about Slicha and Kapara. So after we mention the uniqueness of the day and what the theme of the day is, then we make the bracha of Shechiyanu. And that's how we place our Shechiyanu. Otherwise, on any of the other Yomim Tovim, we make bracha of Shechiyanu together with the Kiddush, because that's the Iker part of the day, is the celebration, the Simchas HaYom, Simchas of Yom Tov, and therefore we make it when we are Mekadesh the Yom, together with the meal or the celebratory festive meal. With other mitzvot, we associate it with the mitzvah, like lighting Nerot Chanukah, or in Purim, by the mitzvah of Megillah, we associate the Shechiyanu with that mitzvah, or the mitzvot HaYom, and that's how, or when we say Shechiyanu. I want to address, the Gemara here has an issue with you making Shechiyanu a la kos. And what the problem is, who's going to drink the kos? Because you have to drink the kos afterwards. If you make a Bori Pirah Gofen, you have to drink the kos. So Bori Pirah Gofen is a Birkat HaNenin. Birkat HaNenin means that I'm going to get Hanoah from this item. Since I'm going to get Hanoah from this item, if I make a Bracha, I have to actually get Hanoah from the item. Now, we allow, by Kiddush, we allow you to make Bracha Bori Pirah Gofen for someone else. Even if you don't drink from it, if someone else drinks from it, it is sufficient. Now, regularly, that would not work. In a regular Birkat HaNenin, that would not be the case. If you had candy that's here in front of you, and the other person wants to eat the candy, you can't say, Shakol Niyabit Varo, and then they eat the candy. Now, if both of you are eating candy, it's fine. But you can't make a Bracha Shakol, and someone else eat the candy. Over here, there is a unique status of this Bori Pirah Gofen. Rashi over here already says, why is it that you cannot make the bracha Shechiyanu on the kos and then not drink the kos? He says, "Degnayhu lakosho bracha shelo yehene adam mimenu la'alter." It's not proper. It's not proper kavod for the kos for someone not to drink the kos immediately afterwards. Shedei birkat ayayin the Bori Pirah Gofen shelo litzorech. They make a Bori Pirah Gofen for no reason. Umichitam le'ei achrina shapir dami. If someone else tasted it, it would have been fine. As long as someone tastes it and benefits from the bracha of Bori Pirah Gofen, then we're okay. So that's why Rashi terms it is, why do you have to have someone drink it? Because otherwise it's a problem or what we'll call a gam, an ikavod. It's a lack of respect for the kos yayin that you're making the bracha on, not to drink from it. So there are Rishonim, I think the Ritva here asks, why is Rashi bothered about the kavod of the kos? How about bracha b'vatala? Isn't that an issue? Make a Bori Pirah Gofen and you don't drink. That's a bracha levatala. So that is, I think, one of the reasons I think the Ritva brings down and says that that's the problem here. The problem here is bracha levatala. You need someone to drink from it, otherwise it is a bracha levatala. Other Rishonim say, no, because Bori Pirah Gofen here is not being utilized as a Birkat HaNenin. Bori Pirah Gofen over here is to associate the Kiddush with a kos. There's a requirement of Kiddush ala kos. What does that mean, Kiddush ala kos? It means you hold a cup of wine, and together with Kiddush, you make a Bori Pirah Gofen. In that sense, the Borei Pri Hagafen now becomes what we call Kiddush and not a Birka Danenin. And so because of that, even if you didn't drink from the wine, it would not be a Bracha Levatala. Borei Pri Hagafen is integral or part and parcel of Kiddush. And so because of that, you wouldn't have to drink from it. So what's the problem? The problem is what Rashi mentions. It's a problem of it doesn't look good or it's not nice that you make the Bracha Ala Yain and you don't drink from the wine. That's something that's inappropriate rather than simply a Bracha Levatala. Now that has interesting ramifications in terms of Kiddush on Shabbat morning. What is Kiddush on Shabbat morning? Borei Pri Hagafen. That's the only thing you need to say. On Shabbat morning, Borei Pri Hagafen, that is the Kiddush. So is that bracha just simply a Birkat Hananin? And therefore, if you make it Birkat Hananin, you have to drink from it? Or is that bracha have a status of Kiddush? And if it has a status of Kiddush, it has ramifications in two areas. One is, if you already made a Borei Pri Hagafen, make Kiddush, can then you make Kiddush on behalf of someone else? And the question of Yatza Motzi, that would be a question. If it's Birkat Hananin versus Kiddush, that would make a difference. The other thing is that can you make Kiddush on behalf of someone else and not drink from the wine? And those two are your nafkaminot about how you view Borei Pri Hagafen. If you simply view it as Birkat Hananin, then the answer would be no, and it would have, have all the dinim of Birkat Hananin. If you classify it as Kiddush, then it would have the status of a brach of Kiddush, and then it takes on these other properties, like we're seeing over here, where you can make the brach on behalf of someone else can drink it. All of those things are properties that come with Kiddush. So it has enough of me how you view. Question here of why the Gemara is insistent that the person drink the cup of wine on Yom Kippur. If you have to make Shechianu Lakos, why you have to drink the wine is important or has ramifications for other areas where we use Borei Pri Hagafen in that manner or in that position. I just mentioned with regards to Shechianu outside of Kiddush and outside of Yom Tov, here the Gemara says that it says Akra. He used to make a Birkat Shechianu on the gourd. The Ramah, when he brings down, when they bring down the Loch by Shechianu, says we don't make a Shechianu on vegetables. The Achronim try to deal with, why does the Ramah say that you can't make a Birkat, why don't we make it on vegetables? So, a couple of them say that it's because the vegetables here, if you left them out, they would stay all year round. So they're really perennials versus annuals. They're always there. Others say because vegetables store, root vegetables definitely store, and therefore you could have them all year round. So that's why we don't make a Shechianu on them. The Mishnah Berurah describes all of that and says that it's talking about, when the Ramah says that, he's talking about small, leafy, green things, and he's not talking about the vegetables that we know as. You can make a Shechianu on the vegetables. But what is clear from here, and has actually an Afkamina Lalacha today, is that you only make Shechianu on something that is annual or cyclical in nature. And that is a difference between the countries that you live in. So for instance, in North America today, even though truly there are cycles and vegetables only appear annually, they import from South America when they're out of season, they import the item. And so therefore you can get fruits all year round, vegetables all year round. And therefore, I've heard the Shem Rav Willig, and it makes sense here based on the Gemara, that you wouldn't make a Shechianu there because you can get it all year round. If you can get it all year round, there is no Shechianu. As opposed to here in Eretz Yisrael, many fruits or items you only get seasonally. When they're in season, you get them. When they're out of season, you can't get them. You only get the oranges a certain time of year. You only get every type of fruit or a unique item at certain points in the year. In that case, you would make a Shechianu because they are cyclical in nature. They only come around once a year or once a period of a year, and therefore you would make a Shechianu on them. So it would make a difference where you live or the experience that you have in terms of the fruits and vegetables as to whether they're there all year or whether you're only getting them on occasion as to whether you can really make a Shechianu on these items. Okay, we'll stop over here.